who's excited to be at church this weekend? Come on, Faith Promise. Hope you're awake and excited and ready. Now, Easter is coming, and hey, I know that we've had a spiritual moment across really all of our campuses, and I just want to jump into another just moment together. And hey, if you don't believe in Jesus yet, or maybe you're new to church, and some of this stuff may seem a little bit odd, and you are, please, if this is your first time, you're welcome to join in these moments or just watch and see, but we believe that God does miracles, and that true life is only found in a relationship with Jesus. True identity is only found in a relationship with Jesus. So I want to take another moment to pray. And what I want to ask God for in this moment of prayer is for two things. One, that we would have a burden. And I know people at all of our campuses stood up for any lies that you might be believing, but I want to take a moment and pray that we would have a burden for people far from God, that we would open our eyes and see the people around us, that the world is ravaging, that the enemy is taking captive, that we would see them with spiritual eyes, and that we would have the boldness to act, not just on their behalf, but on Jesus' behalf for his kids that are far from him. So can we just take a moment, and I know this may seem odd, I'm a huge proponent of some sort of physical action to show the Lord that you are prepared to receive from him. So let's pray for a moment, and if you would you just put your hands in front of you like this and ask the Lord for a burden for people far from him and for boldness, burden and boldness. Let's pray for a moment right now, and I'll pray for us. God, you're worthy. You are worthy. We pray for a burden. I think about Romans 9, 1 through 3, when Paul is saying that he's in anguish for his brothers and sisters that are far from God, so much anguish that he would give up his place in heaven so that they may go. And he was the man that walked around. He wasn't perfect. He was a murderer. He wasn't perfect. He was a sinner. But yet he walked around and he saw people with your eyes. He saw people who were in need. God, would you take the scales off of our eyes? Would you change our names? Would you put us on mission with you? Our best days, our best moments, our best purpose is ahead of us if we would just find where you're moving and join you. God, I pray for boldness to act. I pray, Holy Spirit, right now, you're putting names on people's hearts. This week, you're gonna illuminate people at work, at school, at Kroger, wherever it might be. You're gonna illuminate people that we're supposed to go up to. Our stomach's gonna get in knots. We may start to sweat. Our voice may quiver. But none of those things negate what you asked us to do, which is to go love on that person, invite them to Easter, ask if we can pray for them. So God, we receive a burden and a boldness. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, hey, welcome to Faith Promise Church. We are honored to be in God's presence together. If you're live at a campus, if you're live online joining us around the country or across Tennessee, God behind bars and four prisons, we're just thrilled to be together. What a special day it is to be together. Again, Easter is coming, and let's serve. I know there's a serving card in your seats, or let's also invite. Let's invite like it's our last time. And hey, listen, I'm pretty bought in to Faith Promise and what God's doing. I'm pretty excited about it. And we had a guy come out because ants are at our house because Rachel's kids get the plate and the table and the floor confused. There's ants, okay? And so we called out the pest control company and the guy's leaving. And Rachel, it's like divine intervention that there's an invite card literally right here. And she like runs out of the house. And if it's a guy, it's my job. If it's a girl, it's Rachel's job. So she runs out. I've got to chase down Cook's Pest Control. And I'm like, hey, come to Easter, right? And listen, my stomach still knots up. What are they going to say? But listen, is there anything that they could say that is worth not being obedient? Is there anything that somebody could feel that's worth us not pursuing them? Literally last night, we took some people to dinner, and it was a little loud, and we had a waitress and a waiter, and I asked the waitress, hey, is there any way I can pray for you? And this is crazy. Her face gets all red. What's that happen sometimes? She's like, no. And the waiter beside me says, yeah, my shoulder's hurting. He's straight. And I said, oh, we'd love to pray for that. She said, oh, I thought you said pay. So this woman thought I said, can I pay for you? And I was like, this is my wife. I'm super married, like extremely married. But either way, you know, either way. So enunciate is the lesson for today. Enunciate. But we are in a series leading up to Easter. And we're asking ourselves some questions like, what is your tomb? Or like just a different way to say it, what lie or belief is bringing death to your life? Listen, there's no reason to be ashamed. We all have them. But the differentiator is we do not all walk out of them. We all have the opportunity to walk out of them, but we don't all walk out of them. So far this series, we've talked about the tombs of unforgiveness, which is unbelievable, or the tomb of what is truth, which was very powerful. And if you missed any of those, check them out on our YouTube channel this week. And today, we're going to keep on walking in freedom. And today, we're going to keep on seeing God move. Can I get an amen? Are you guys with me? Can we get an amen, right? We're believing we're going to walk out in freedom. So today, I just had this kind of visual in my mind. Today, yeah, it's working. Today, we're going to shine a flashlight into another tomb that we have all sat down in. And I'll be honest, there's a lot of us who have, when we shine the light into this tomb, we're going to find ourselves sitting in it today. I don't need you to feel any shame. I need you to know that every single person really in the world but that's joining us for church this weekend has been in this tomb. So get ready to come out, right? Get ready to come out and never go back in. And the tomb that we're going to clear out today, the tomb that we're going to look in today is the tomb of worldly satisfaction. The tomb of worldly satisfaction. We're going to shine a light in there today, see what keeps us in there, and see if we find ourselves in there. Now listen, we all love to be satisfied. I mean, think about your favorite satisfaction, right? Maybe it's after a good meal. You know what I'm saying? You're just eating a big steak. You can barely button your pants. It's a joy. I love it, right? It's right on the edge of gluttony. Okay, I fall over sometimes. I'll be honest with you. Right? I love that satisfaction. Maybe it's sitting down on the beach or wherever you like to vacation on your first day of vacation. You know what I'm talking about? It's just unbelievable. Maybe it's winning the first in the Fortnite Battle Royale, which I have done one time. You are welcome. Some of you guys don't know what that means, and it's okay. We'll just keep on moving past it. But if you know, you know. Okay, maybe, because some of you guys are thinking it, right? Maybe it's that certain type of cardio that the Lord has given us for marriage, right? We don't have a picture for that one. But if you're not careful, things can happen, okay? Either way, we'll move on, all right? We love to laugh. We love to have fun at church. But that joy, that opportunity for satisfaction was created by God and given to us by God. He came up with joy. He came up with love. He came up with satisfaction. There's a part of Nehemiah 8:10 that I'm sure that you've heard, and it says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. But for some reason, God has been given this rap that he's a killjoy and doesn't want us to have any fun or fulfillment or satisfaction. And listen, that's just not biblical. That's not God's character or his nature. That's a lie from the enemy, because the enemy knows this word better than most of us. And the enemy knows Nehemiah 8:10, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And the enemy wants to keep us weak. So we tend to dodge God's satisfaction that he offers. But you are not meant to be weak. Your joy, listen, your joy is not meant to yo-yo up and down with circumstances. You are made to be strong. You are made to be consistent. Not just that, Not only are you called to have joy, you're called to bring joy. You're called to bring life. You're called to bring satisfaction everywhere you go. Listen, that's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me, God. Come on, that's who God's made you to be. So the tomb that we're inspecting today, again, the tomb that we're going to look at is the tomb of worldly satisfaction. So let me ask you, where are you getting your satisfaction? Where are you getting it from? Let's just really ask ourselves today. Where do you get your joy? Where do you get your warm fuzzies? Where do you get your identity? Where do you get that from? And listen, I just want us to jump right in. Complete satisfaction is not a pick and choose proposition. Let me say it again. Complete satisfaction is not a pick and choose proposition. Meaning you can't be satisfied by a little bit of people and by a little bit of stuff and by a little bit of God and it'll all kind of work out. You're not a hybrid car. It's not a little bit of gas and a little bit of electric, right? You're not just a stomach where you need some carbs and proteins and fats to be complete. Listen, we're going to go deep today because complete satisfaction is not a pick and choose proposition. That's not how God's made us. And it's very different than how our world lives. But remember, we live by God, the truth of God's word, not the day-to-day truth that the world has to offer. So let's listen to what Jesus has to say about our satisfaction. In Matthew 6, verses 24, Jesus is one of his most famous sermons the Sermon on the Mount, right? And he's really describing the difference between the world and the Word of God, the kingdom of God. And one of the things that he says that's so powerful is that no one can serve two masters. You will either hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You can't serve two masters, right? And so now here's what's hard about this verse. There's some context stuff or some contextual stuff that's a little challenging. In this verse, Jesus is using to describe the situation as the relationship between a servant and a master. Now, just a side note, some people try to use some verses in the Bible to say the Bible is pro-slavery. That's absolutely not true. Actually, people who used to proponents of slavery had to take parts of the Bible out to make it fit their agenda, right? Maybe we'll do a purpose podcast or something on that, but that's just absolutely not true. But Jesus is unique because in Jesus' day when he's doing ministry, there are masters and there are slaves, there are servants, right? So Jesus is using that because it was happening while he was doing ministry. But I think it's important that Jesus uses such an intense relationship to make his defining point here. Jesus wants us to see that loyalty is a big deal. Loyalty is not a massive value for us today, right? But Jesus, whenever he's describing how we live our life, is saying it's a big deal. Actually, he's going past that. Actually, he's going past loyalty and teaching lordship, which loyalty is a bit of a challenge for us today. Lordship is even way far past that. So we're going to have to ask the Holy Spirit today to help our hearts not to read this as Americans, right, or whatever nationality you might be, but to read it as God intends you to be, as first and foremost, a citizen of heaven with the Lord that is Jesus. Because lordship can be a foreign concept for us. Jesus is saying it's not like having two jobs, right? It's not like having two jobs. Which is a pretty normal thing. A lot of people have two jobs, but your relationship with the Lord is not like that. It's not like cheering for two teams, right? Which that's a more normal thing now too. But it's not like that. This is an intense statement that you cannot serve two masters. But what about us? When it comes to our joy, our satisfaction, even our self-esteem, are we serving two masters? Do you have to go to certain places that aren't the Lord to feel good? Listen, if we're going If we're going to go to other places and serve other masters, you know what it's going to do? It's going to make you feel unstable. It's going to make you feel inconsistent. It's going to make you feel powerless. Do you ever feel unstable? Do you ever feel inconsistent? Do you ever feel powerless? Listen, you were not made to feel that way. It's time to come out of that tomb. And you're not going to be perfect, but there is more for you. I just want to so level with you guys this week and actually get really personal. And some of you guys may think this is silly, but it's super deep for me. I've been preaching at Faith Promise since I was 16. When I was called to ministry, one of our student pastors gave me an opportunity to start preaching in student ministry, and it's been something that God has allowed me to do for a long time, and I've been able to serve Faith Promise and schools that I've gone to and things like that with communicating God's word. However, something that I noticed growing up is when I would prepare to preach on a subject, whether it was greed or lust or anger or consistency, I would feel that subject. I would experience that subject, the pain, the challenge, the pressure of that subject in my own life. I remember one week, it was a sermon on perseverance or something, and I'm telling you, it was a brutal week. And I could see like this happening, and I remember being like, Lord, what the heck, brother? I'm trying to do what you're asking me to do, and this is miserable. And I remember, it wasn't an audible voice, but I remember God communicating, Zach, I can communicate through you so much better when you go through it, when you feel it, when you're wrestling with it, when you're just leaning completely on me for victory. I mean, that's what Jesus did. He wasn't a monk out in the woods on his own. Jesus was with prostitutes and sinners and gluttons so they could see what freedom looked like. I mean, so this it's not 100% that happens to me today, but this week was definitely one of those weeks, talking about worldly satisfaction. And it's just been a tough week when it comes to that for me. Now, to recap, just so we're all on the same page, right, before I spill the tea or give you the juicy details from my life, right, the tomb we're talking about that we want to come out of is the tomb of worldly satisfaction. So you may be thinking, what in the world, what worldly satisfaction was Zach leaning so hard on to have such a hard time with it? Well, again, it may not be the Real Housewives drama or whatever you may be taking in, but it's a big deal in my life. It's a big deal for me. And something that I've struggled with really since I was probably 11 has been lust. I was exposed to pornography like accidentally by somebody, and it's just been a struggle for me really almost my whole life, right? And I could feel, I've always been able to feel, even though I've had victory over pornography, I could feel lust trying to find its way back into my life. That was a sin that I could always feel like it's always looking for a crack or a gap, a way to get back into my life. And recently, as God's been calling me to just, as we're leading Faith Promise into more holiness and to hear from Him more and go through hard things and push across the state of Tennessee, with the pressure that comes with that, I could feel lust trying to find its way into my life just in an intense way. And at night, when I would lay down or when my mind would wander, I would feel those thoughts try to make their way into my heart, into my mind. And listen, I would start to take those thoughts captive, which is a massive part of our spiritual warfare. It says that in 2 Corinthians 10:4. That's our warfare, is to take thoughts captive, right? And so I would start to take those thoughts captive, and I would look at where they're coming from. And so listen, and that may sound like it's hard to do. It's really not hard to do if you'll take a thought captive, and you'll find it, because usually a thought looks like, smells like, sounds like wherever it came from, right? That's usually how it works. But in our society of Instagram and binge watching stuff, like we don't take the time to do a lot of deep work and grabbing a hold of a thought, a temptation, insecurity, and say, where'd you come from, is deep work. And so as I was doing that, I would just chase it down. And really, I promise it's not that hard to do. If you heard a kid say, that pesky wabbit, what have they been watching? Bugs Bunny, right? Cartoons. When River said the A word, River, my six-year-old son, when he said the A word, I was like, hey, let's chase that down. Where'd that come from? And I was like, because if his mom said it, I'm going to get on. No, I'm just joking. I was like, where'd you hear that at? We don't say those words. Our family doesn't say those words. He said, backpack guy said it. And I was like, who is backpack guy? And JL, who was helping me chase the thought down, she said, well, in Jumanji, the guy with the backpack, who was Kevin Hart, right? He said it. And so either way, you can chase these thoughts down. I promise that you can. And so back to my life, I'm finding these thoughts and I'm grabbing a hold of them. And whenever I'd grab them and I would chase them down, they always came from the gym. I've taken social media off my phone because that's where it used to come from. I've put a lot of parameters in my life because holiness is what matters most to me. And all the lustful thoughts that were trying to get in my heart, it impact my intimacy with God and my wife, were coming from the gym. If you go to the gym, clothes are tight at the gym. yoga pants are, let's move on. Let's keep on going. But that's where I found those thoughts were coming from. And I thought the Lord asked me to give up the gym, at least for a season. And guys, I hate that. I love the gym. I'm not committing adultery there, right? I witnessed there. I have my ring tattooed on so there's no mistakes, right? I'm not trying to slip it off. I'm not trying to build a relationship with somebody there, right? I have good relationships there. I'm more healthy when I'm there. I'm more consistent when I'm there. I'm more motivated when I'm there. The gym has been a part of my life for 20 plus years. It's a part of who I am to the core of myself. It helps me get my days going. It's a big deal, and I hate it. Still hate that the Lord would ask me to take a break from that. But what of those reasons that I just told you that I hate it is more important than honoring God? Which one of them is more important or would supersede something the Lord clearly asked me to do? How I responded to the Lord's request this week showed me that I have an issue. Because I obeyed. I didn't go. But boy, I pouted. And boy, I sulked. And if I'm honest, I'm still not happy about it. God is more concerned with me being holy than with me being happy. That's lordship. That's not feelings. That's lordship. Pursuing holiness will result in complete satisfaction. Pursuing happiness will result in constant setbacks. Constant, the rat race, the treadmill. Now, if I just be super transparent, I'm still not over the Lord asking me to give up the gym. But as I started to try to pull my head out of the sand this week and ask the Lord, Lord, why is it so hard for me? I've got to stand up. I get to stand up in front of our church family and talk about worldly satisfaction. Why is this so hard? Why do we look to the world for satisfaction? Why do we do that? I do it. You do it. I mean, let's just be frank. So why do we do that? And actually, I want to take a moment and ask ourselves that question. I want to take a moment and be really transparent. And actually, I want to ask you to participate. This isn't a confessional hour for me. Okay, so actually, we're going to do something we did last week. We're going to take a poll. So if you'll get your phone out, and we're actually going to look at something on the screen. And you can probably see it better on your phone, but I'll walk you through it. It says, why do we gravitate towards the tomb of worldly satisfaction? Why do we go towards that? And the options are, it's easy to do, right? It just helps me fit in. So I have control is a huge one. Thank you for whoever is lightning fast and transparent, right? It's what my parents did. That's an option. I don't know how to find it in God. Thank you so much for that transparency. I think that's a big one. Or I find complete satisfaction in God. And again, please take some time and do this. And we're going to use this to help give you some equipping tools and things like that. But this is a great question to ask ourselves. When I don't find complete satisfaction in the Lord, which for a lot of us would be more consistent than we would like to admit, Why is it? Why do we find ourselves there? And I believe that the gravitational pull towards this tomb is as strong, if not stronger, than any tomb that we will talk about. But the reason that this tomb is so scary is because a lot of us, it can feel or look like good things. The gym isn't a sin. And to be honest, most of the time, I'm not sinning while I'm there. Your kids aren't a bad thing. But if you worship them more than you worship God, you're not honoring God. You can't serve two masters. You'll be better, and your kids will be better if you'd come out of that tomb. In John chapter 4, we find an amazing moment when Jesus brings satisfaction to a woman who's a lot like us. We find Jesus talking to a woman who had a past of living in sin and was still living in sin when she was talking to Jesus. The whole town knew about this woman and the sin she lived in. Yet Jesus brings her satisfaction. Listen, you are never too far from God for complete satisfaction that he has to offer. The woman came to draw water from a well. Jesus was sitting by a well, but she finds a satisfaction that's so much better. After she tries to argue away Jesus' kindness and love, which don't we do that too? I don't deserve it. I have to have this. After she tries to argue Jesus away and Jesus isn't having it and Jesus presses in, this is what Jesus has to tell her in John 4, 13 and 14. Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks from this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks from the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become like a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Listen, if we keep drinking from the fountain that the world has to offer, the satisfaction of the world, we will come up thirsty every time. But how can we do it? How can we switch away from the world's satisfaction to God's complete satisfaction? The satisfaction that God has to offer. And I just want to make it super simple. We have to have time with God to make him our master. Do you have every day time in prayer, time in the word, time in worship? And not in the car while you're driving because you have nothing else to do. Do you have time with God where you make him your master every day? Every day I make God my master. Some days it's easy, some days it's terrible. But I operate by lordship and not by feelings. Do you have time every day where you make it? Maybe you're not sure how to do that. Hey, come to Next Steps at all of our campuses tonight and we'll help walk you through it. Or hey, join us on Mondays and Thursdays for prayer. We do that online so you can join us on the little blue disc in front of you. There's details on all that stuff. Don't miss Revival Night this Tuesday where we're just going to get into God's presence in an unbelievable way. Please. The reason that we offer these things is not because we're bored or because we don't have anything else to do. We're doing it so that we can make God our master together. And this is how we will be equipped Christ followers to win our world. A great example of that is a lady named Melissa Lopez, who got into some legal trouble before her sentencing, before she got sentenced for that legal trouble. She went to Celebrate Recovery at Faith Promise. And there, actually, one of our pastors spoke over her. They were praying over her, and they spoke over Melissa that she was going to be a witness to God in prisons. Now, that pastor thought that she was going to be a God behind bars winning team member, right? But Melissa knew the legal trouble she was in, and as soon as that pastor said it, she knew she was going to jail. And she knew she had to make a decision. Where am I going to get my satisfaction? And long story short, she found it and pursued it in Jesus. She came to church every week, even when she was in prison. She shares her faith with inmates. She shared her faith with guards, anyone who would listen. She was winning her world. While in prison, she realized that she never got an opportunity to get baptized. The first thing, the first step of obedience that God calls us to do while she was going to Faith Promise in prison. And after she got out, she went to a halfway house, graduated early. She's reunited with her family. She's working, has a great job, but she still realized, I haven't been baptized. I haven't done what God has told me to do. And so she's talking with Pastor Lisa, who's our God Behind Bars campus pastor. And even though she was in Nashville, Pastor Lisa drove, found a way, made a way. And I just want you guys to see what happened with Melissa. Let's watch this together.
Listen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Listen, Melissa lived a life, and if we could let her, she'd tell you for hours that she lived the life of worldly satisfaction, and she could tell you where it got her. And maybe you're not on route to your worldly satisfaction leading you to prison, but is it leading you away from God? It's not worth it. Listen, God has so much more for you. This is what an equipped Christ follower looks like. That's what you are to look like. And maybe you say, Zach, I've never found my satisfaction in the Lord ever. And hey, can I just be super, transparent? I felt this during worship today. Just be transparent about this. There's a lot of you, you've been coming to church and you've been around and you feel like you've been satisfied with the Lord. But listen, feelings, that's not what gets us into heaven. That's not what gets us a relationship with Jesus. That's why some days you feel it and some days you don't. That's why in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus says that one day some of you will say, Lord, Lord, and I will say, depart from me, I never knew you. If you plan to walk to Jesus in judgment with a feeling and not a salvation, you're going to be in a bad spot. But today, there's a day. Today is the day of salvation. In Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe that he died on the cross and rose from the dead for your sins, you will be saved. And so we're going to make that confession right now. If you would you bow your head and close your eyes with me? And we're going to pray all together as a family. If you've never prayed this, come on. Today's the day. It doesn't matter how long you've been coming to church. If you know you're supposed to give your life to Christ now, let's do it. Repeat after me. Say, Jesus, I know I've sinned, but I know you came to pay for my sin, a debt I cannot pay. I can never be good enough. I receive your payment. Be Lord of my life. Be my only master. Be my first love. With head still bowed and eyes still closed, if you prayed that prayer today and you made Jesus the Lord of your life, would you just raise your hand? We're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to do anything crazy. We just raise your hand. We just want to put a piece of paper in your hand. Raise it high. Awesome. Awesome. Raise it high. Don't be ashamed. What an amazing day. What an amazing day. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Raise it high. Awesome. Awesome. Just another minute. Praise God. Praise God. Faith Promise, can we celebrate with the people who gave their lives to Christ today? Come on. Come on. Hey, we're going to worship and we're going to respond. And Christians, I think there's a lot of us, you've been sitting in your seat and you've realized you've been going to a different fountain. You've been going to a different well. And the light of God's truth was shown on you today, and you found yourself in the tomb of worldly satisfaction. Come out. Just like when Jesus told Lazarus, Lazarus, come out. Can you hear the Holy Spirit in your heart tell you, come out. Live in satisfaction, complete satisfaction. If you need help, if you want prayer, we'll have a prayer team up front. We're writing people's names on these boards at all of our campuses, people who need Jesus, we're praying for Easter. But whether you need to make an altar at your seat, come up for prayer, pray with your family, let's get out of the tomb of worldly satisfaction. Will you stand with me? Let's pray and let's respond. God, we come before you right now. And God, this isn't easy, but you didn't call us to something easy. You called us to build the kingdom of heaven here on earth. And we have eternity with you to celebrate. We have eternity with you, God, to rest in your love and your grace. But today it's time for war. Today is time to not be distracted. Today is time to come out of the tomb. So I pray for boldness. I pray boldness for men of God who will come up and get prayer. I pray for boldness for women of God, for moms who have found their satisfaction in their kids or their marriage when it's supposed to be in you first. God, I pray for our students that they wouldn't be distracted, but they would lead the way into revival, God. We are so sorry. It's only you that we need. Would we be surrendered? Would we be humble right now? Would we come forward with a burden and put people's names on these boards? Whatever you say today, Holy Spirit, we will obey because you are Lord and we are not. In your name we pray. Amen. Respond as the Holy Spirit leads you.